Matthew chapter 7, we're going through what I call surface studies. Our average Bible study will go anywhere between 50 to 100 verses, cross-references to one verse, and so it takes us quite a while to get through a book in the Bible. And so what I thought we would do in Sunday school is just give the salient verses a study and kind of bypass some of the more well-known ones. And so far it's worked out for us, I guess, okay. We're still in Matthew chapter 7 after several months, so it's not going as quick as I thought it would, but it's all good. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 through 11 is where we're at this morning. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Isn't it just a nice coincidence, that A-S-K, ask, seek, knock, is ask right there? That's not coincidental, folks. We have a great God who designs things and knows the end from the beginning, and he put that there. So you'd remember, ask is asking, seeking, and knocking. All right, verse 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to him, to them that ask him? The Lord Jesus Christ's estimation of mankind there in verse 11, not just his disciples who had left all to follow him, said that they were evil. And we can say amen, truth, Lord. Amen. We have the propensity for good, and that makes us just as worse, because if we were totally depraved, like the Calvinists say, we would have an excuse. But the fact is, we have a knowledge of good and evil, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Our problem is a heart problem. And the only thing that can change it is salvation and the Lord doing a work inside of us with his word. Now, there's a companion passage to this in Luke chapter 11 that we want to look at. Look at Luke 11, verse 9. Excuse me, Luke 11, verse 9. And I've taught you before that whenever you see a difference in the Gospels, and you will hear in a minute, it's not a contradiction. It is God trying to teach you something by pointing out differences. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, he says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" That's not in Matthew. In Matthew, he just talked about the bread and the fish. He didn't mention an egg or the scorpion. Verse 13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" In Matthew, he said, give good gifts. In Luke, he says, give the Holy Spirit. The reason the difference is because the real gifts that we need are the gifts of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. All right, so you have those differences there, and we'll get to some of that here in just a moment. Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your word and your words. I pray that you would please bless the study as we compare Scripture with Scripture. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher and our guide. Help us to understand the things that we read. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to put it into practice and be doers of the word and not hearers only. We thank you for this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, the average Christian, when they talk about, God supplying their needs, they think, they misquote the verse, first of all. In Philippians, it says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." The modern versions say that God will supply all your needs. Some of them even go so far as to say God will supply all your wants. But he does neither supply all of your wants or all of your needs. I got a lot of needs right now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want all the time. I don't know about you. What is God, a liar? No. It's God knows what we need, and we don't. We think we know what we need. We either think we need the things that we don't have, or we think we have too much and we don't have enough of it. The truth of the matter is that our needs don't determine what God supplies. God's supplies determine what we really needed. And God is faithful. The charismatics will have you think that if you just ask it and name it and claim it, you know, you'll have a two-car garage and, money in the bank and be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and that's God's will for everybody, and that's nonsense. If God supplies those things for you, be grateful, amen, be thankful, and use it for His glory. The Bible says, he that in these things serveth Christ, that's not a standard for everybody. It is God's will for some people to be sick. It's God's will for some people to be poor. It's God's will for some people to be uneducated. It's God's will for every individual has a plan of God in their life. The ultimate will of God is that you get saved and serve Jesus Christ. And then, there's neither male nor female, rich or poor, master or servant or anything like that. You're all one in Christ. What the government claims to want to bring to pass, Christ already brings to pass in the church, His body. We're all united. We're all one in Christ. There's neither male nor female, neither Jew nor Gentile, neither bond nor free. That's something that's true spiritually in Christ and only there. And what the government tries to do is do that on a worldly, carnal basis, and it just ends up making a bigger mess than began. But what you and I often say is, God, I need some bread, and then He occasionally gives you a stone, and you get bent out of shape with His provisions. And you think, Lord, I asked for bread. Why'd you give me the stone? You say, God, give me a fish. And then when a serpent shows up, you dodge it because you can't comprehend why God would give such screwy gifts. But He does. And the thing is you have to walk by faith and understand that God is right and that God loves you and that God's doing best even when it seems like He's not. You go up to Job and say, smile, Job, God loves you. He said, really? I just lost everything I own, all my kids, 10 kids. I had to bury those yesterday, and my wife's mouthing off, and I got an incurable disease. Be happy. Think positive. You know what Job had to do? He had to endure to see God's goodness. He had to, by faith, endure, and eventually he did. But the reason why we judge God unrighteously is because we're evil. We think we're better parents than God. When our kid asks us for a piece of bread, sure, here's some bread. Have all the bread you want. Your kid asks for a fish, here, have a fish, man. Have more. We don't think about giving him a stone or a serpent. But that's because we're fallen. We're evil. God is a much better parent than you, even when it seems like He's not. And not only are you evil, but you're dumb to boot. And when I say you, I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about everybody. Amen? That's human nature. Human nature professes to know how to give good gifts because when bread is asked of you, you give bread. When eggs are asked of you, you give eggs. And when fish are asked of you, you give fish. But when a holy, righteous, loving God offers a scorpion instead of an egg, you think that you're a better parent than He is. You're wrong. He's right. You say, Brother Adam, God doesn't give stones, serpents, and scorpions. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. Did Adam and Eve have a need of the knowledge of good and evil? They didn't have it. No, they had a need of obedience to the Word of God. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke 10, a chapter right before the one in verse chapter 11. Look at Luke 10, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Well, if He's never going to send those your way, what good is that power? If all He ever gives is fish and eggs and bread. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Okay, well then God sometime in the future, if you wait long enough, will send a serpent instead of a fish, and a stone instead of a piece of bread, and a scorpion instead of an egg. And when He does, don't lose faith. Don't unrighteously blame God for not caring and not knowing. Accept it and be thankful and go on. You know what? Eventually, and I'm not saying He always does that. Sometimes when you ask for bread, He gives bread, and praise God for those times. Sometimes when you ask for the fish and the eggs, they come right on the time as duly scheduled. But not always. Not always. And in those times, it is wrong for you to try to accuse God of not knowing and not caring, because He is a better parent than anyone in here. Look at Numbers 21, verse 9. Numbers chapter 21. The Israelites are complaining and murmuring as usual. And God sends fiery serpents to bite them, and they're dying left and right. And Moses cries out and says, "Lord, what are we going to do?" And the Lord tells him, "All right, Moses." Numbers 21, verse 9, God tells him to make a serpent of brass, put it on a pole. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, if Moses had put fish upon a pole instead, because it was much more pleasant to look at, there would have been a whole bunch of corpses to bury the next morning. Because they didn't need fish, they needed a serpent. Amen? You know what you needed Christ to become for you at Calvary? "I am a worm and no man." As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He bore our curse. He took the devil's place. He became sin for us. You didn't need a fish. You needed a serpent. Sometimes the bread, the fish, and the eggs show up after you've been given stone, serpents, and scorpions, but don't be so preoccupied with asking for fish that when a serpent shows up, you get bent out of shape. Ezekiel 2, verse 6 says, "Thou son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." So he says, you dwell among scorpions. And if you don't have to realize that, open your eyes spiritually. You're surrounded by them. You better know how to deal with it. Amen? People get preoccupied with asking for bread that they reject the stone that's offered in its place. Well, look at what happened to those Jews in John 6, 26. Look at John 6, verse 26. Christ had a whole bunch of people following him because their bellies were their God. John 6, 26. They saw him feed 5,000 men plus women and children on a couple of occasions, and they thought, this is the guy to be around. You never go hungry. John 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." These bunch of people were looking for bread. And you know what the Lord gives them? He gave them a stone which they rejected. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2, verse 7. "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." That Jew rejected the stone that was offered in the place of bread. You know why? They get the thing backwards. They wanted that physical kingdom, not the spiritual kingdom. The physical kingdom doesn't come till they get the spiritual kingdom. No kingdom of heaven till there's a kingdom of God. No peace until there's purity. No peace unless there's righteousness. No peace on earth until there's glory to God in the highest. All right, so if you're in a place in your Christianity where you're just going along with the flow and you're growing lazy and comfortable with all of your wants satisfied, the last thing you need is an egg. What you need is God to toss a scorpion onto that couch you've been laying on to get you moving again. Amen? And I understand. I feel the vibes. Amen? You want the bread, the egg, and the fish. Me too. But I'm saying, what I'm telling you this morning is going to help you out in circumstances where instead of blaming God, you can say, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord." And you can be obedient and not charge God foolishly and eventually see God answer your prayer. You didn't think asking and seeking and knocking was so difficult, did you? Well, it's not, but it's difficult. The difficult part is waiting on God and being patient and giving Him the glory. A bland, squishy diet that won't motivate you to do a thing? That's what a lot of Christians want. Eggs. Give me some eggs, you know. Job 6, 6. "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt, or is there any taste in the white of an egg?" No, you got to put Tabasco on that thing to be able to eat it. Amen. Amen. Now, what you really need is, like I said, for somebody to, once in a while, instead of tossing you another deviled egg or boiled egg, toss a scorpion on that couch and get you moving again. 1 Kings chapter 12, look at 1 Kings 12, verse 11. Here's an interesting little verse. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 11. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Scorpions are connected with chastisement. You know what you need from time to time as a child of God? You need a good whipping once in a while. You know what the Bible says? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. I love my kids, but I've never scourged them. I must not love them enough, right? No, I don't think you or I have that ability, but God does. Scourging is what Christ got from the Roman soldiers. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. But nothing pleasant about it when you're going through it. Nothing nice about having scorpions, serpents, and stones. But it shows up from time to time. God has supplied our need. Our main problem is we tend to judge Him by our evil, unrealistic standards. You know, one day you're going to be walking on streets of gold. You'll have all the money you want. You'll have a golden crown. You'll be living in a mansion prepared by Christ for you personally. Amen. You're going to have it made. You're going to live in a glorified, have a glorified body that never feels pain, never grows old. You can eat as much as you want without getting fat. I mean, the future you have ahead of you is everything that this world is fighting tooth and nail to get. You're going to get it. They won't, but you're going to get it in Christ. You're going to live forever. You're going to know God as He knows you. You're going to be walking on streets of gold in a golden city. The gold is so pure it's transparent. The Lamb is the light thereof. You don't need the sun or the moon. Amen. There's no light bills. There's no doctor bills. There's no graveyards. There's no disappointments. There's no heartache there. No more tears. God wipes away all tears. You got a great future ahead of you. So what you ought to do is you ought to appreciate the opportunity you have to suffer for Christ now and glorify God on His behalf. And because once the rapture happens, no more opportunities like that. Right. No more chances to suffer reproach for His name's sake. No more chances to pass out gospel tracts, witness to people, preach on the streets. All that stuff is now in the middle of scorpions and serpents and stones. And, you know, like I said, bread, fish, and eggs. God's good to us, amen? Much better than we deserve. Much better than we deserve. Much better than we deserve. All right, you're waking up a little bit. All right, God, you know, if the bottom drops out tomorrow, we've lived like kings and queens our entire life in this country. You think Solomon enjoyed the luxuries you enjoy and take for granted every day? You think King Solomon, he says, you know what, I feel like Chinese food. You think he could get it in less than a week, if that was what he wanted? I doubt it. You can go to some 24-hour joint. Might not be the best Chinese food, amen, but it's Chinese food. You know, you can get egg rolls. I'm not saying they have to be in the best condition. But you and I, we live like kings and queens. I can remember when my dad first got my mom a microwave for Christmas. Seth and I were crying. We were like, baked potatoes in 10 minutes. We're teenagers, you know, and we didn't even chew our food. You just bit it once to kill it, amen, and then swallow it. We couldn't believe it, you know. We were beside ourselves. I mean, that was the greatest gift that he gave, was that microwave. Boy, you talk about a life-changing thing. That's like from going from an icebox to a fridge, amen. How many of you lived in times where you had to get ice and put it in the bottom of the icebox, Brother Luke? You tell these people how spoiled they are, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Cook with charcoal and, cool your stuff with a block of ice sitting in the bottom of a cabinet. All right. Well, God has supplied our need. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Now, if He already knows what you have need of, what's the point of asking? It seems kind of like it cancels out, the one cancels out the other. He knows what you have need of before you ask, but He tells you ask. You know why? Because He wants a relationship with you. You feed your kids, amen? You have to. But you feed your kids because you love them. But you know what? You appreciate when they have some positive input. Mom, this is really good. Thanks, Dad, for taking us out. A lot of kids, they take it for granted. You know, like the one kid, you know, he didn't speak for the first 3 years he was alive. His parents just thought he was a mute. And one day, Mom cooked up some casserole and put it before him, and he was like, man, this is really horrible. And they're like, you spoke. He's like, yeah. Well, haven't you spoken in 3 years? Everything was fine till now. The thing is God wants a relationship with you. That's what prayer is. It's not about getting things or not getting things. It's about having a relationship with God.
Right on. Amen.
And asking Him to do what He wants, not what you want. What you want could destroy you. What He wants will bless Him and you. Look at, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Yeah, it's hard not to preach in Sunday school, especially on this topic. But I'm like you, like I said, I appreciate the fish and the eggs and the bread. Who wants a stone? I'm scared to death of snakes. Petrified of them. He said, well, it's not a poisonous one. It is to me. They're all deadly. We actually had a scorpion in here one time. Yeah, right after Katrina. All those folks moved in from Mexico and Texas and brought scorpions in their suitcases. They had a little scorpion running around. Caught him, put him in a glass, and he died. I don't know what, I guess I threw him out, amen. But for the first 24 hours, we looked at that thing and went, you know. The old days, we didn't watch horror movies. We'd just go rent a video from the library on snakes or spiders and sit there and just cringe on the couch. It's weird to me that God made those things. You ever look at a black widow spider, how evil that thing looks? I mean, there's some stuff, man, that is down. Look at stuff at the bottom of the ocean, man. Some of that stuff is terrifying. It's alien-like. Well, God made that stuff for His glory. He enjoys. There's something about Him that enjoys it. Wherefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You know, people think God's like Santa Claus. No, He's holy. He's righteous. He's got wrath, not just love. God's a balanced being. His love is eternal. His wrath is eternal. His love and wrath work in tandem. Some people don't believe that. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. All right. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. What a nice gift. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Ask, seek, knock, three times. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, there's a reason why I put this in there and let you have it, and you're going to have to learn to trust in me, and my grace is sufficient for you. Paul's response is, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions. In necessities, you see that? He had need. What about my God shall supply all your needs? It's not in there. In necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Our problem is we have to have an attitude adjustment, and we need to see things as God sees them. And if you do, it'll help you go through the trials. It'll help you go through the tests. It'll help you go through this life. You'll skate through this life if you can learn to be content with what things you have and learn to be thankful. Those two things right there. And boy, those are a real challenge. You have to fight it till the Lord comes back. Job 2, verse 9 says, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Evil not as far as sin goes, but evil as far as bad times. Shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Job's wife's problem was she thought God always gives eggs and fish and bread. And when he sent a serpent, in Job's case, she's like ready to curse God and die. You can't live that way. You're going to be very disappointed if you are. One of the scariest verses in the Bible, and there's a few of them, but there's a terrifying one in Psalm 106. Look at Psalm 106, verse 15. Psalm 106. One of the worst things God would ever do to you is give you everything you want. Look at Psalm 106. Verse 15. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. That's why when the angry surges roll in the lives of many professing Christians, they collapse. They don't think God does that. They think God's just always positive, always wonderful, always look on the bright side, stiff upper lip. No, sometimes you have to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you have to go outside the camp bearing his reproach. It is given unto you in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. A lot of Christians are all about the believing part. Yeah, great, great, gravy train. Yes, amen. But that's only half of your Christianity. The other half is the honor of suffering for his name's sake. When they called the apostles, they beat them and commanded them not to say anything, teach anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. And when they departed the council, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You know what Christ said? When men evil entreat you and falsely accuse you for my name's sake, leap for joy, great is your reward in heaven. It's a bummer down here, but it's a blessing up there. I mean, you know, our problem is not persecution. Our problem is prosperity. We get too comfortable. But if God, in his grace, should send persecution our way, we ought to be able to handle it as well as we handle the prosperity. Having the mind of Christ, he says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. What's the mind? The mind to suffer. It may never come. God may not allow it. But if he does, you want to be prepared spiritually and mentally to be able to say, God's good. I know God loves me. He's going to take care of me. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, Job said. That guy didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of him. He didn't have this. He had three miserable comforters for friends. You think of all the friends Job must have had as a great rich man that he was, and only three stuck with him, and all of them accused him of being rotten. He said, miserable comforters are you all. If I was in your place, I could say the same things, but I would try to assuage your grief with my speech. You guys are just wearing me out. The NIV says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. The American Standard Version says, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Douay Rheims Catholic Bible says, and may God supply all your want according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The Living Bible says, and it is he who will supply all your needs from his riches and glory because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. Great memory verse, right? NASV, and my God will supply all your needs. Every one of them. Needs, 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 want. You know what this King James Bible says in Philippians? My God shall supply all your need. You know what that means? It means sometimes you need to need. We need salvation, we need comfort, we need assurance, and we need wisdom from God, and he supplies that in Jesus Christ. Matthew 6:8, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. And yet he still tells us to ask. He commands us. Luke 18:1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Look at Hebrews 10, verse 36. Hebrews 10:36. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You have need of patience. Somebody says, don't pray for patience. You know why they say that? Because tribulation worketh patience. But if you have need of patience, guess what? My God shall supply all your need. You may not think you need it, but you'll find out, you know what, Lord? I did need that. Thank you. Look at 1 Peter 1, verse 6. 1 Peter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. He says, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. I know every one of you that are saved want to hear Jesus Christ tell you one day, well done.
Amen.
Good job. That's the highest commendation you'll ever receive. And if you want that, then guess what? If need be, you're going to need to go through some things. No crown wearers in heaven who weren't cross bearers on earth. You ever hear people say, I don't need this. That's what we think. But you're going through it, so God must think you do. And so the thing to do is not complain, not murmur, but say, thank you, Lord, and it could be worse. I deserve worse, but by your grace, I'll get through this like you have brought me through many dangers, toils, and snares, and your grace will lead me home, and you'll just have to deal with it till the Lord comes back or changes the situation. His grace is sufficient. Nobody goes looking for thorns in the flesh. Nobody volunteers, hey, no. There are some people in here that have gone through some troubles and are going through some troubles that I would never wish upon them or myself or anybody. And yet God in his wisdom and in his love for us says this person can handle that and put it on them. Do you think Job's the only one that had a contest? You know, God picked a fight with the devil and used Job to poke him? You think that's the only time that ever happened? That's God pulling back the drape and letting you see what's going on in the spiritual world on a regular basis. You know what Paul said? There's a great door open unto me, but there are many adversaries. You know what comes with the blessings? You know what comes with the opportunities? The trials, the troubles. Look at Matthew 3, verse 14. Matthew 3, 14, verse 13. Matthew 3, 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. All right, so Jesus Christ said, suffer it to be so now. John said, I have need. What's my need? To be baptized of thee. And Jesus said, suffer it now. You have a need? We got plenty of them, right? You know what the Lord says? Put up with it. Suffer it. God knows. Commit it to him, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Pray, pray, pray again. Ask, seek, knock. But when you do, wait. Be patient. Have faith. In time, that serpent turns to a fish. You know what God did for Moses with that rod? He threw that thing down. It became a serpent. Scared Moses to death, man. The Bible says that Moses fled from the face of it. Well, how in the world did he ever pick it back up to make it a rod again? That's easy. He turned around and faced it. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. God said, Moses, pick that thing up. And Moses said, I'm going to get a handful of teeth. And Moses said, God says, Moses, I made you and I made it. Pick it up. And Moses says, all right, Lord. And he turns around and that snake gets that weird look on its face. It starts to go the other way and he picks that thing up and it becomes a rod again. Sometimes God's blessings in our lives, answers to prayer, are disguised in trials and troubles and heartaches. Luke 10, verse 42. Luke chapter 10, verse 42. Oh, back up to verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my... You see that? Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You see, Martha was careful and troubled about many things, and she thought the way to get rid of those cares and troubles was to get busy. And she got as busy as she could get, cumbered about with much serving. And you know what? She was still careful and troubled. You know what's going to give you peace that passes all understanding? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. If you're careful and troubled about many things this morning, choose that good part. Philippians 4:12 says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. He says, I know both. At the same time, he knows how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. The disciples went away to buy Jesus some food, and when they came back, they offered it to him and said, Master, eat. And he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Was he hungry or not? He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He won that Samaritan woman to the Lord, and spiritually he was satisfied, even though physically he was still hungry. Paul says, I know how to instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Well, if Paul had to learn that, every Christian has to learn that. So in your abounding, don't forget that God has also a will for you to suffer need from time to time. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That sounds wonderful, and it is, and it's great, devotionally speaking. But I don't pray for a daily bread. The New Testament says if any man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. God supplying daily bread is for Jews in the tribulation who are fleeing the Antichrist and aren't able to buy and sell. And God's going to miraculously feed them with manna from heaven like he did in the Old Testament. You want your daily bread? Go get a job. If you can work, you ought to do that. If not, then you depend upon somebody who can. But... the truth of the matter is that we have a lot of needs. Our dilemma as Christians is that we think we require more than we need. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 says, But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. You have food and clothes? Everybody in here has got more than that. Be content. It's hard. Raised the way we're raised, spoiled the way we are, but Christian, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You can learn contentment. You can learn thankfulness. You can learn that you your needs are met. Our dilemma as Christians is that we think we require more than we need, or that we already have everything we need, which is also untrue. At Laodicean Church in Revelation 3:17 says, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And Christ said, You're poor, miserable, wretched, naked, and blind. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in a furnace. What's that? Faith. Luke 6, verse 25, Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. God's will for a Christian isn't that they always be full. That's what the world promises. You know, the politician, a chicken in every pot. Christ didn't offer you that. He offered you eternal life. And it's given unto you on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his name's sake. Like I said, I'm not lining up for it any more than you are. But we have to be real. And we have to recognize what the scriptures say. In case we find ourselves wanting to accuse God of not taking up His end of the bargain. God is faithful, even when it appears that He's not. Philippians 4:19 is not written for the skeptic. It's written for a Bible believer who needs an anchor for their soul. No matter what their circumstances they find themselves in, that they can say, God is faithful, God loves me, He's going to take care of me, and He's going to get me through this by His grace. Matthew 6, verse 30. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Man, the book's got our number, doesn't it? You know what we've thought since we got up this morning? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? How am I going to dress? You know what He says? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. All right. Lord, I pray that You help us to lay these things to heart. And Lord, we know that You want to teach us these truths in a very experiential and practical way. So Lord, give us the strength that we need to obey and trust. And I pray that Jesus Christ will get the glory. And we ask Your blessing upon the refreshments and the fellowship and the break and the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, there's some coffee and donuts in the kitchen. If you care for some, we'll take about a 15-minute break and then get the regular service started.
The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I need.